You have three brains that allow you to go from thinking to doing to being. Now let's talk about those three brains. The first brain is called your neocortex. That is the seat of your identity. It is the place where you have conscious awareness. You're listening to me right now with your neocortex. And your neocortex is what plugs you into three-dimensional reality through your senses. So when you see something, you hear something, you smell something, you taste something, you feel something, information is being logged in the memory bank of the known self. And that is the database of who you are as an autobiographical you. So then every time you learn something new, you make new connections in your thinking neocortex. Learning is making new synaptic connections. And the Nobel Prize laureate Kendall in the year 2000 found that when people just learned one bit of information and concentrated on that information for about an hour, they doubled the number of connections in their brain. But if they didn't think about it, if they didn't review it, if they didn't repeat it, those circuits were pruned apart within hours or days. So if learning is making new synaptic connections, then remembering is maintaining and sustaining those connections. So then we now know that if you give people sound scientific information and they can begin to learn that information and make new synaptic connections, if they can turn to the person next to them and explain that information, they're beginning to wire it in their brain. If they can explain it, it means they have no circuitry that they're installing. So then as they begin to learn the information and they repeat it, they're building a model of understanding. And every piece of knowledge acts as a new stitch into the three-dimensional tapestry of their gray matter. And as they learn this information and repeat it, as they begin to fire and wire new circuits in their brain, they're making their brain work in new sequences and new patterns and new combinations. Whenever you make your brain work differently, you're changing your mind. Because according to neuroscience, mind is the brain in action. So as people begin to learn the information and they can share that information and repeat it, they're beginning to install the neurological hardware in their brain, in their neocortex. And the more they can understand that philosophy, that theory, that intellectual data, that analytical information, that knowledge, the more they understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, the how will get easier. So then if we can set up the conditions in the environment and give people the proper instructions about change and transformation, if they can get their behaviors to match their intentions, if they can get their actions equal to their thoughts, if they can get their mind and body working together, they're gonna have a new experience. Now, experience enriches the circuits in our brain. That's what experience does. So then, in the midst of an experience, everything you're seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and feeling, all of that information is rushing back through the brain through five different sensory pathways. And the moment those neurons string into place, the limbic brain, the chemical brain, the emotional brain, makes a chemical. And that chemical is called a feeling or an emotion. So you read the book on being patient. You read the book on being a great leader. You read the book on emotional intelligence, and it's all stored in the brain as philosophy. When you initiate that philosophy, you apply it, you personalize it, you demonstrate it, you do something with it. If you can align your mind and body and you have a new experience, the experience then enriches the philosophical circuits in the neocortex, and then the limbic brain makes a chemical or an emotion. And when you begin to feel unlimited, when you begin to feel more patient, when you feel like a great leader, when you feel more compassion, now you are teaching your body chemically to understand what the mind is intellectually understood. So we can say then that knowledge is for the mind and experience is for the body. And in that moment, you're embodying the truth of that philosophy. And now you're embodying the knowledge that goes with it. It's no longer intellectual, it's visceral. Now that means then, the moment you feel the emotion from the experience, the epigenetic model of reality says, genes can be changed, but it's the environment that signals the gene. If the end product of an experience in your environment is an emotion, The moment you embrace a new emotion from a new experience, you're selecting and instructing new genes, and you're changing your genetic destiny. Now, if you've done it once, it means that you should be able to repeat it and do it again. And if you can continuously repeat any act over and over again, you are going to neurochemically condition your mind and body to begin to work as one. And when you've done something so many times that your body now knows how to do it better than your conscious mind, now it's innate in you. It's automatic. It's natural. It's effortless. It's easy. We could say now you're beginning to master that philosophy and you're moving into a state of being. In fact, you know how you do it, but you don't know how you know how because it's become a subconscious program. And this is when we activate the third brain, the cerebellum, the seat of our procedural memories, our habits, and our skills. And this is when we become the knowledge. So then our job is to go from philosopher to initiate to master, from knowledge to experience to wisdom, from mind to body to soul, from thinking to doing to being, to learning it with your head, applying it with your hands, and knowing it by heart. And you and I have all the biological and neurological machinery to do this. And this evolution from thinking to doing to being in our three brains allows us to master who we are.